had a word just before this came on, and it was not very long. Basically, what the Lord was saying, that He has allowed the church for 6,000 years to be their eyes blinded to what's really going on. Yes, there's been prophets that prophesied and different things, but until now, we're to the time of the end when the 6,000-year earth lease has run out, and Satan's time, we always hear, well, our time has run out. Well, no, our time has not run out. Satan's time has run out because he stole it. And that's what the Lord was saying. This is the time that I am going to lock him up. It's time for his regime to come down. It really doesn't have a lot to do with us, except we're going to continue on and we're going to get to live out what was stolen from us for the 6,000 years on the earth, for 1,000 years. So, but he was the one that was worthy, and he is the one that said, I'm worthy to open the seals. A lot of Christians are not seeing it, but they're going to. It's going to be obvious. They're going to see it. I was thinking about it this morning. Well, you know, a few years ago, I was so gung-ho and trying to just win everybody, tell everybody the truth about stuff, until one day someone made fun of me. I had several do that, but this one in particular was someone that I thought would, certainly them of all people, would understand. And this morning, the Lord brought that person back up to me. And I was, you know, thinking, well, I don't have any ill will, but I don't purposely go out of my way to talk to that person. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking, well, I only have one message. And if you are not open to that message, then we don't have a conversation. So much of the church today, I have no conversation because of the silliness that's been taught. The blindness that's on the eyes still. But you know what? There's a Gideon army that's progressing forward. And it's not too late for others to come on board. And I know this is the reason that it's been seemingly so hard, that the pushback has been so bad, because you may not want to hear it until it touches your life. And then all of a sudden you begin to look at some things in a different perspective, like, oh, wow. Then you think, that's what they were saying. I made fun of them. Like the meme says, if you don't know what's going on, find the nearest conspiracy theorist you can find and they'll tell you what's going on. What a conspiracy really is, it's those that contrive together to do evil. The real conspiracy is Satan and how he has duped God's people. But no longer. It's payday. It's time for him to be dealt with. All right. Because it's the times we're in, this is how I came to this title: letting go of power drains. Satan will do anything he can to get your mind off of what's important and what the goal is and what you need to be doing onto everything and anything to try to drain your power and make you ineffective in the kingdom of God. All right, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the only way we're going to make it. Not in our own might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I mean, I applaud those that think the only thing you can do is get up off your rear and get out there in the streets and do this and do that. But I'm here to tell you, it's these spiritual warriors that's the ones that are in the forefront, because How can you take a strong man if you hadn't bound him first? That's what spiritual warriors do. First, bind the strong man. Then you can take what he's stolen. But if you're just going to go and say, well, I'm going to run for the school board, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, well, how's that going to help if the strong man's still there? You think you're going to overcome that strong man that's been there for years and years and years and cause such havoc? I don't think so. Not unless you spiritually deal with it first. This is that spiritual mapping the Lord's been talking to us about for a while now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not just dealing with Schumer or Pelosi or this skank and that skank. Evil, wicked people. These are demons that have strongholds, that have stolen. We've got to target the real enemy. Quit so much in the face of, I don't like them and I hate them. No, no. They're just merely being manipulated and controlled and they've been lied to just like you. The rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are where the puppet masters dwell and they are pulling the strings of these people. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, not be taken out. What good is it if you're taken out? Nothing. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the truth? God's word. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're not fighting with flesh and blood. We're not fighting with men. We're not fighting with the Democrats. These are these principalities. Above all, taking the shield of faith. This is where our speaking comes in. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's where we take out this mess. We may be a Gideon army, but we are well able, because God has given us spiritual armor, just like he gave Gideon supernatural means to take out the army of his day, just like he did it for Joshua and Caleb. They had supernatural strength and help from the Holy Ghost to do what they did. They had angels casting down hailstones. The sun supernaturally stood still. And take the helmet of salvation. This is that mind here that has to be covered, not deceived and pulled aside. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We've been talking about, and we're going to see further today, the Lord's been speaking to me and Danny both about the supply of the Spirit. Anything and everything you'll ever need, you'll find in here. It is a supply. My God shall supply all my what needs. According to what? My job? No, His riches in glory. And supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance of supplication for all saints. So this is the armor that we stand in. This is the battlefield that we are on, and these are the ways that we're supposed to take care of things. I've heard people say not every Christian's called to do this. Well, maybe not this strategic, but in their own life they are. It doesn't hurt to know it regardless, does it? All right, what I'm trying to relate to you, I'm talking about mental issues that wear you out and drain the power right out of you. This happens when we let go of the Word and focus on the cares of this life. Just the day-to-day issues that you deal with that just are things that you've been standing for years and they don't seem have that they have manifested yet. Then you see something that they, it looks like it's going in the opposite direction. You just go, drain, drain. You all know about the drain, don't you? Like everything's gone down the drain. Like the words you're saying are just words. They're not producing anything. That's just what the devil would have you think. Because why would he bring the adversity if you're not doing any good? Because he don't mess with those. It ain't been any problem to him. Right? For the most part. It's usually those that are standing that have the opposition. Okay. Mark 4. This is the explanation of the parable of the sower. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He's there to take the seed. Why? Because harvest comes from that seed. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. To me, someone that's rooted is someone that is on point, praying in the Spirit, declaring, making their faith declaration, staying in the Word of God. These are the people that are rooted and grounded. What happens if you plant something and you just get it on the surface, you don't get it under there, before you know it, it's just all dried up. It can't get rooted. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. In other words, all this faith stuff don't work. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. These just made it a little further. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit. They don't back down. They don't give up. No matter what they see, they continue to speak what they first decreed. And then they receive 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All right. When we plant, we say to the mountain, whether it be kids, finances, you name it, we must take the approach that Jesus took. It's not about what you see. It's about what you believe. Mark 11:11. Brought this up a few weeks ago, Christmas, right after Christmas. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. This is the way Jesus operated. He just decreed things and went on about his business. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. Well, I won't skip down to 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus is saying to them, have faith in God. This is his normal mode of operation. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, not just me, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you'll think about it, in the Old Testament, the prophets proclaimed many things, and many were hundreds of years before they ever came to pass that God said, like Jesus coming forth. Did it happen? Yeah. We need to be careful that we don't think, well, it has to happen within this timeline, or it wasn't God or my faith or whatever. When you decree and you believe, it's going to happen. Just as when you go the negative way, it happens. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Just because you don't see what you want, that's not the gauge. What you say is the gauge. Well, I said it. And this is a law. It's a spiritual law. And it operates just like it's programmed to operate. And it will operate that way. Just look at all the negative things you've received in your life before you knew the truth and was just saying anything and everything out of the top of your head. This indicates here that there is nothing between us and our fellow man. Your heart has to be clear. This is verse 20 here. Whenever the Lord is talking to, right after 23 or 24. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Which I think that's mistranslated because I don't believe that. But what I do believe that it's trying to say here is this. To walk by faith, you have to walk the love walk, and you have to be, you have to understand that the true enemy, just like in our day, the true enemy is not the Pelosi on the screen or the Chuck Schumer on the screen. Or the penguin, whoever. It doesn't matter who you see on that screen and what they're saying. You know who the real enemy is. And you don't lay the blame on them, but you blame the one that has been ravaging this earth for 6,000 years. That's to be our target. That's to be our goal. When you stay out of offense, that's why I'm so glad the Lord never put me on the social media scene. I mean, I guess if I needed to be on there, I'd be on there. That way, you're not, your hand's not against anyone because of the infighting. How in the world are we going to be the church and move forward with infighting? It's not going to happen. We're defeated before we ever get started. That's why we have to stay focused and not look at, well, this company's doing this, or this leader is doing this, or this church person is doing this. We got to look at the real culprit. Okay. God wants us aiming our words like arrows at the goal and not wasting our energy on cares of this life. This is what you call emotional baggage. You ever meet someone that has so much baggage you can't even stand to be around them? I have. We know that Jesus did not carry care, but it did not mean that he was not tempted to. Well, he was the Son of God. Well, so are you. Not in his category, no. He is the Son of God. But now, are we the sons of God, the scripture says. Because of what he did, we became brethren. All right, let's look at a few scriptures here. Mark 3. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them that sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Jesus had, I mean, his brothers didn't even believe in him until after his death. Okay, back. That's written three times. I want to read all three because there's, when he put something three times there, we need to get this. We're not obligated to family that would cause us to get out of step with what God wants. It takes priority over that. While he yet talked to the people, behold, this is Matthew 12:46. While he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. In other words, you drop whatever you're doing. Whatever God's told you to do, my stuff's more important than yours. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Okay, one more, Luke chapter 8. Verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press, and was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Ever have those situations where you were made to feel like you're what you God's calling you to do is not important, but every little thing that comes down the pike for his family that you're pulled at and you are expected to do it or be a part of it? Yeah, I lived that way most of my life. We have made confessions about things, especially family. Do we believe our words? Yes, we do. Like Mark 11:23, concerning your words, then you would view it as already done, and you would not carry any care about the person or the situation. Like when Jesus cursed the fig tree, walked away and didn't look back. What did Jesus say about looking back? Luke 9:62, he puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, we've got petitions we made in 2015 concerning family. Does it look like much has changed? A little. But as far as we're concerned, when we made our faith decree, that's the way it is. No matter what we see. And God wants us to view it that way, where we do not carry care. We do not let that emotional stuff come into our minds and start pulling us off. If God wants us to do something, he'll say, do this. Family, they tend to cause your emotions to come out and start. You start listening to your feelings, and you can't do that. That can be very dangerous, especially in this day and time. Well, I feel. Who cares? This isn't anything about feelings. This is about hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God. Looking back indicates that you didn't believe it when you first spoke it. This is a setup for mental failure because it is a mental battle. Don't ever forget that. Yeah. Jesus is implying that we are to be about Father's business and not let anything distract us. Satan comes to steal that word that you spoke about whatever way back then. If you keep going forward and resist the temptation to look back, then you can move forward with confidence. It's not up to us how long it will take. Just because the devil tries to stir up things to steal your seed, that is nothing new. He is the thief and is about stealing whatever he can get. Making sense? spiritual sense. Okay, Mark 4. A lot in Mark today. Mark had a lot to say about it, didn't he? Which, from what I understand, this was John Mark, the one that turned back. I wrote this book. Not the apostle. All right, this is 4:26. You know how kids can stir your emotions? This is verse 26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." It's so, that's the way your faith operates in the kingdom of God, just like a seed put in the ground. The man was not swayed from his original planting. He just went to bed, he got up, went about the business he needed to go about, and it just came forth without any effort. He watered it. We did petitions coming up 7 years ago, and a lot of it appears to not have manifested yet. So it will if you continue to believe the words that you originally spoke and you don't give them to the devil mentally and allow him to steal your seed. It is time to make a New Year's resolution. I put revolution. That's even more appropriate. Let's have a New Year's revolution. How about that? To do just what I have been doing here. No matter what you see or hear, it does not change the fact that the fig tree is cursed and the mountain removed, etc. Because you believe what you said when you spoke, not what you see along the road and along the path, even if it's years. All right, hope you are getting this today. Our focus is to be fixed on the goal that is set before us. I believe that is building Gideon's army. All right, Judges 7. Okay, Judges. This is Gideon's army was gathered together, and the Lord said it was too big. Verse 1, "Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand has saved me." Think about that. 1,000 can put one to flight, 2 10,000 to flight. If any two of you on earth can agree, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father who is in heaven. What I've heard in church all my life, it's always about the numbers. You're not a success if you're not running big numbers. And they gauge, there's someone that I know that anytime I've known her for many years, and anytime I see her again, she's always bragging about how big her son's church is and how many members they got. You know, that's not God's way. It's never been about the numbers with God. Why? Because you can say, by my own strength, we did this. We did this. Men did this. Not God. "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, there remained 10,000. That word that Danny had back in November the 16th, 2021, said he would rather have two warriors than 5,000 losers. Because two can put a flight to 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I shall say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with their tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. These were true warriors. Out of all those thousands, these 300 men were the true warriors. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took their victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. I mean, they were like multitude. They were like locusts. There were so many. And he defeated them without even no weapons. Let's keep reading. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. When Midian was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. His fellow answered and said, there is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. God. They knew. They were like grasshoppers, that the little ragtag army of Gideon was no match for them. They knew it had to be God. Even the enemy will recognize God. That was God. That was God. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He divided the three men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in each man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. We don't have to have everybody awake. I don't believe that. I know that's what they believe. We don't have to have but just a Gideon's army awake. Now, people need to have their mindsets changed. I do agree with that. But as far as taking the army of the devil out, there's a group that's a Gideon's army that are standing in the gap, building up the hedge. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, sounds like just like Joshua when the wall fell. It was supernatural. When I blow the trumpet with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They were united. There wasn't one doing one thing and another doing another thing. They were united. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zararath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pushed or pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan, and they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Took off the serpent's head. I received a text a few nights ago that I believe is the greatest compliment as a Christian that I've ever received. I'd like to show you. This is someone that I've been dripping out things to for about 6 to nearly 7 years. I've seen this person go from a foul-mouthed hussy to a Christian that has totally changed their way of looking at things. This is what she said. I'm so grateful God put you in my life. I needed someone like you to lead me to Him. So never think the small things that God requires you to do. It may seem insignificant in the scope of things. But I know what the scripture says. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Yeah. Because see, you know, it never stops there. That's a seed that'll plant other seeds. And it just goes on from there. Don't ever think the little things God asks you to do, because I believe, just like the little foxes spoil the vine, it's the little steps of obedience that God is watching. Anybody can do something big. But to do those little things when nobody's watching and you think, I'm just wasting my time, and you just keep doing it because you believe God's put you there, that's what it's all about. If every Christian would live this way, just let God lead them. All right, God will lead you to these types of situations to disciple someone. The organized religion might scoff at this because they're all about the numbers. We're not about numbers here. We're about the individual. As you well know, Jesus is also about the individual. All right, I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures concerning this. The first one is John chapter 10. I mean, this lady, the first time I started going to her, her mouth was so bad, it was just about all I could stand. But she loved to hear about the Word of God. John 10, 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, and is the shepherd of the sheep. It's just too bad that some, unless they're going to get some glory out of it, they have an angle. They're going to get something out of it. Fame. They're not willing. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What are we doing whenever we're doing this, what God has asked us to do? We're showing him the door. The way into life. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay, Matthew 18 is another portion of scripture about this, a little different. This is 18, just three verses, 12 through 15. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I remember one time way back when I was volunteering back in the 80s, I guess, at Birthright. And I remember I went up to the door and it was locked. My key wouldn't work. And I was so frustrated because I needed to open the office. It was my day to volunteer. And that way down the road, I saw someone walking. And they just kept getting closer and closer. And I just had this knowing I was supposed to do something concerning this person. Well, he comes right up to my window. I remember calling Mary and saying, can't get this door open. She said, well, I'll be down there in a minute with some graphite or something, you know, for the door. But anyway, I ended up ministering to this young man. In fact, I had manicotti I was going to eat for lunch. And he hadn't eaten in a while, so he ate my lunch. But I had an opportunity. I remember hearing this scripture about there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them go astray? See, it's not, I mean, there's people all over the place like this. You know, just being keen, just sensing, okay, Lord, I know you have me something to, you know, to say to that person, do for that person, those little divine appointments along the road. One day, they're going to say, well, here's brother so-and-so, and they're going to show a film that's going to show you talking to them. I think everything's archived. In fact, the scripture says when people sit around and talk about the Lord, it's documented what they say. Forget where that is. Do you know where that is? Anyway, it's a book called The Book of Remembrance, I think is what it's called. It's like when we talk around, sit around and talk about the goodness of God and stuff, they document it. The angels document it. We've got a lot to do. Whether we're ever any fame or glory or anything like that, who cares? It's not about that. Never has been. Luke chapter 15. What is the Lord saying to me today? He is saying to me today, and what he's been saying to me this week, don't let family and your cares and all of this stuff get you down. Trust them to God. Let God do it. The harvest comes forth without your effort. Okay, let me read that. Malachi 3. 16. Okay. But anyway, the Lord wants us carefree. He wants us focused on what is important and going forward and doing his business. Where did you, what scripture?
3:16, Malachi.
Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name.
Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's it. All right, this is Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What does the Great Commission say? Matthew 28, this is in the modern English version because the King James had changed it. Even the King James, the highly revered King James version. All right. This is Matthew 28:18. I'll just read it because it's going to be different. Right here, I wrote it, typed it out. Did I type it out? Well, let me just read it in the King James. That's all right, Denny. I'll just read it in the King James, and then I'll let you read it out of that. Let me read King James. This is Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, teach all the nations. Well, in the modern English version, it says, Make disciples. And I believe that's the correct rendering of that. I'm going to let him read it. Make disciples in what? Go. All right, he told us to go and make disciples. All right, that's what's the point. So many are waiting for them to jump into their boat. But you must go looking for them. As you go about your business, God brings them across your path. All right, if you are open to this, God will lead you this way. All right. Disciple is a student of the word. This indicates not just an altar call experience, but time well spent with each one to impart to them God's word. A disciple is a student of the word, not love them and leave them. Big mass altar call. I know a lot of times in these big altar calls, they do try to get them connected to churches and different things, you know. So I will give them that. All right, this is the mindset we need to have all the time, constantly expecting while we are about the Master's business. We love our families, but we're not to get caught up in their drama. There's always drama. We are to keep our focus and cast the care of what we have and believed for and prayed for. This is the process, and Father God is carrying that care for us. When you speak that way, you're initially saying, Okay, Lord, now it's in your hands. I believe you. And he'll perform it. All right, we can't let the drama pull us off the goal that is set before us. So we stop plowing and start looking back. We are the Lord's army, okay? A few more scriptures. 2 Timothy 2. Paul is admonishing Timothy. Verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God's top priority. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet Is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So, from what I can see through the scriptures, the ones that paid the price, they met with opposition, and they didn't have the fame and the glory like we see in preachers today. Nothing against those preachers. Maybe they've done great and wonderful things. I don't know. But we shouldn't be looking at that. We're supposed to be a team moving forward as one. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul speaking here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The only one I want to hear any proclamation of anything from is the Lord saying, well done. Just imagine if every Christian would take the stance. Jesus never said, I love them and to leave them. He loved them and leave them. He intended for them to be retrained in God's ways. You have to spend time with someone to do that. Just like the Lord said to me, and I put it in my giving letter, take care of my house and I will take care of yours. Are you willing to vacate the things that press you around about and focus on the kingdom ways? Okay, Luke 14. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Well, I want a taste of his supper. This is a mental battle, and we have to handle it biblically. Because our weapons, you know, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal weapons. Jesus brought heaven to earth to show us the way of the kingdom of God. He raised up disciples to follow the way of the kingdom. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 10, I don't know what that passage is, but we're going to look at it. Oh, okay. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then verses 7 and 8, And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Just think about it. Big Pharma is being exposed, and what they have done to everyone is being shouted from the housetops. People can no longer trust their precious doctors or hospitals. They will be ripe for the gospel. Forgiveness and healing, this is what it's all about. That's what Jesus did. We must have this mindset and be ready to help those that we come across. They will be hopeless, and we can give them the hope they are looking for. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what the disciples said when they came back and reported after Jesus sent them out. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. They're subject to us through his name. What I'm saying here today, stop grieving over your situation and get a new focus. Wherever you go, be about the master's business. Keep your thoughts on that instead of the attacks of the devil and all of his mind games. After a while, the glory you will experience will override all that other. So be busy about the master's business that you don't even think about or think anymore about what you need. Take care of my business and I'll take care of yours, is what the Lord was saying.